20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I want to start by saying a couple things. Number one, a lot of you have been sharing your Spotify Wrapped and your YouTube analytics of your most watched episodes or your most watched shows throughout the year, most listened to podcasts, etc. And there's been a lot of cool, top 2%, top 0.5%, etc. Photos that people have been sharing. I just want to thank all of you, regardless of whether you're in the top 1% or if you're your first time here or anything else. Just really, really cool to see that. And it still blows my mind that Pack-A-Day has become this thing that so many people make as part of their daily routine. So thank you guys so much. Those are awesome pictures. Keep sending them because I love seeing them. And it's just really kind of cool to see, especially from all parts of the world too, which has been really, really awesome. The second thing I want to say is I'm sorry. It is Friday today. I don't know if you know this, but the Packers played last Thursday, which is over a week ago. And I'm just getting to grades today, which I understand is not the most conducive thing in the world. If I were being totally honest, if the game is done Thursday, I'd love to have grades to you by Saturday, like 2 days at most. Sometimes life doesn't exactly work that way. We had a couple big soccer tournaments this past weekend, and life has just been hectic this past week. So my apologies for that. The one thing I will tell you, I will promise you always, is I put a lot of time, effort, and energy into these grades. It's not something that I, you know, just do for like, oh, A, B, C. You know, you guys know I grade every player and every play. It's not the simplest thing in the world. It's very time conducive, or it's not time conducive. It's very time consuming, I should say. And it's one of those things that every single year I kind of think about, like, oh, should I keep doing this or not? But it does give me a very unique perspective. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. This was one of those weeks. So my apologies for, you know, being over a week, I guess, overdue, I would say, for these grades. But we'll get to them in just a moment. Excited to go through them. Lots of really fun stuff to talk through from this past week's game. And hopefully it's as good next week when we go through the Bears grades. And I promise you, at least I shouldn't say promise, but I should have those to you earlier next week for a couple different reasons, but mostly because I'm going to be traveling next week and kind of need to get them done ahead of time. All right, shout out to some brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, 3VO, Bob Ohms, David Williams, Joshua Kadan, Kenneth Lorber, Noah Dale, Roy Droll, Hanumesh Koda, Trashman, and Andrew Bessiger. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Also, brand new All-Pro members, Nemo and Steve Bates, and new Hall of Fame member, John-Mark Liddell. Thank you guys so much for the absolute best. Appreciate you. If you haven't checked out memberships yet, make sure to do so. We've got a couple things out there right now. Well, we've got the Aaron Nagler vid for this week, which is always awesome. And then if you are a member, you get videos early, and the Mike Wall video for previewing Packers Bears is out there already. That'll be available to everybody on Saturday afternoon, but members get those a little bit early. We had the members Q&A earlier this week, and it's always just advantageous to get those videos usually early as well. So make sure to check out those memberships if you have not done so already. Also want to correct something that Justice and I went over yesterday. We talked about Jordan Riley, the new defensive tackle, and based on his accrued service, we looked at it and thought that he was going to be a restricted free agent after this year. He will actually be an exclusive rights free agent, which is a big difference. If he's restricted, it basically means that they decline the restricted tender and he would become an unrestricted free agent. And maybe Green Bay would bring him back. Maybe he'd go somewhere else, et cetera. But they have a lot less team control in that situation, unless he balls out and you want to just easily give him the restricted free agent tender, which is possible, but probably unlikely with this few games left. But when you're an exclusive rights free agent, it's no negotiation. It's a 1 year vet minimum contract for how many years you've been in the league. It's a no-brainer for Green Bay. It's non-guaranteed. So there's a good chance that if Riley performs well at the end of this year, they will very clearly bring him back on that exclusive rights free agent deal. So that's good news there for the Packers. Also, speaking of good news, Jordan Love nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Cool honor for Jordan. There's 32 nominees, so he's got a ways to go to actually win that award, but I couldn't think of anybody better on the Packers that's more deserving. And listen, Jordan's been awesome on the field. He's been awesome off the field. I said this a couple weeks ago. If you're not all the way on board with Jordan and him being the franchise quarterback, and if you're not all in and super excited about it, I don't know why. I'm very much struggling to understand why that would be. He is, and you know, maybe in a week or two, or maybe as a 3-interception game or something, you're like, aha, this is why, Andy. He's going to have bad games. I understand that. Like, he hasn't really had like any brutal games this year. I think he's been outstanding on the field. His interception rate is insanely low. His touchdown rate is good. He's third currently, at least last I checked, in MVP voting. He's been unbelievable. He's been fantastic coming off in a really amazing game that we're about to talk about against Detroit this past week. And off the field, by all accounts, consummate professional. You know, Matt LaFleur again said this week that his parents raised him the right way, that this is exactly what you get with Jordan Love. I understand coming off of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, right? That's a tough act to follow. Jordan's doing it. He's absolutely doing it, and he's doing it in a classy way. He's doing it in a stand-up way, again, by all accounts, and this is just another example of that. Kudos to him for being nominated. Hopefully he can win it. That'd be even better. But again, awesome to have him with what he's doing in all facets as a franchise quarterback in Green Bay at this moment. I went through the full injury report on the Carmen Vitale episode yesterday. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you can check that out. I'll also go through it on Saturday and Sunday as well when we get the final injury report and when we preview the game. But just one quick one that I think is going to be really interesting for Green Bay is that slot corner position. Javon Bullard did not practice on Thursday. That's very noteworthy. He has been a real key piece for this defense. Nate Hobbs did practice, but was limited again. I'm interested to see what happens. If you know, Bullard is ready to go, he's just going to play. I don't think there's, you know, any question about that. He's going to be the nickel. If he's not and Hobbs is ready, I would expect we'd get a pretty big dose of Nate Hobbs in this game and his opportunity to kind of reintroduce himself and hopefully some of the injury stuff's behind him. Hopefully he can maybe do better playing in the slot than maybe he did at that outside corner position. But that's a possibility there. If neither of them can go, then it gets interesting. Do you put Kamal Haddon on the outside and then put Nixon back in the slot? So Valentine Haddon and then Nixon in the slot. I think that there would be versions of that, but I bet it would be more on obvious passing situations. I wouldn't be stunned if it was Zane Anderson. I wouldn't be stunned if it was Ketanji Adapo. There's a possibility you could do Evan Williams there and then Zane Anderson or Ketanji Adapo at safety. But I don't think you want to move Evan away from safety with how well he's playing there. So that would be probably the more surprising one. Could he do it? I think so. But I don't think that's the way that you want to use him just because he's been so great at safety. So options there. Again, hopefully Bullard can go. If Bullard can't, I guess it's Hobbs. If Hobbs can't, then you have more of a conundrum of what you want to do in that situation. But even then, Green Bay does have some options. But either way, that slot position one, really to keep an eye on as we get the injury report, the final injury report on Friday with those designations of questionable, doubtful, or out. Hopefully we get some good news and hopefully Bullard practices on Friday to maybe give us a little bit more hope that maybe he could go against Chicago. Meanwhile, for the Bears, Rome Odunze is the big one to keep an eye on for them. He did not practice for a second consecutive day. And if they lose him, that is a big piece of their offense. He's been really good. It feels like he and Caleb are kind of getting that connection. And if they don't have him, that's a big loss. So keep an eye on those. The slot position for Green Bay, Rome Odunze for Chicago. Meanwhile, Thursday Night Football, Lions beat the Cowboys. Packers stay at 91% chance to make the playoffs. No real change there. It does all but eliminate Dallas. I think there's like an 8-9% chance that Dallas can still make it, but they're going to need a winning every game from here on out sort of streak and some luck to be on their side as well. I would assume that that probably was the final nail in the coffin. Also somewhat interesting that, you know, that Jahmyr Gibbs, Detroit rushing attack, pretty good day against Dallas. I know they really wanted to, you know, upgrade that run defense so much so that they traded away Micah Parsons and brought in Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark and anything they could to really shore up that run defense. It did not work. It did not work. And guess what? The one with Micah Parsons this past week did a lot better against Jahmyr Gibbs than the one without Micah Parsons. Shocking, I know. So thanks again, Jerry. We appreciate it. Super thankful. Super, super thankful. All right, let's get to film review first, and then we'll go through our grades. Three sort of notes from film review. The first thing, was offensively. And some of these, by the way, let's see. Two of the three are kind of bad news. One of them is good news. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Offensively for Green Bay, Detroit played a decent amount of man coverage. If you remember, rewind a year ago to when teams were playing a lot of man coverage against Green Bay at the end of the year, and Green Bay really struggled with it. They really struggled with their wide receivers to get off of man coverage, especially once Christian Watson went down. So this is kind of a good news, bad news thing. The bad news is I thought there were some things on tape that Detroit did that still gave Green Bay problems in man coverage. If you think about it logically, as you look back at that game, which I know again is over a week ago, my apologies. But if you think back over that game, how many of those throws that Jordan made were contested sort of plays? Think of the Dontavian Wicks catch at the end of the game, the Dontavian Wicks touchdown. You know, think of some of those plays with Christian Watson where they were bang, bang, were they drops, were they incomplete, were they broken up? You know, you can maybe judge for yourself on some of those. There were a lot of plays that were heavily contested by Detroit corners. And that's not the way that you want to live. So it's interesting in the fact that the soft zone coverage is giving Green Bay more problems than I think the man coverage has. I don't think you're necessarily afraid with the man coverage, but that did show some signs of like, I would like to see that a little bit more crisp. I'd like to see receivers getting off of coverage a little bit more and not having to live in the world where you're going up for these contested catches and making plays. The good news is I do think Christian Watson is a huge difference maker here, because if he's one-on-one and you're going man coverage, he just feels open. Now, Watson's got to come up with some of those plays. This past week, he had a couple that I thought he could have come up with that he didn't, but we also saw the deep play down the field. And if he gets those opportunities, you can throw it to him. The beautiful ball by Jordan, and the beautiful thing about that throw is he throws that and the corner is the closest to the ball at the time, meaning the corner's got to step on Watson. And in the blink of an eye, Christian Watson erases that. And by the time he catches it, Watson's got legit separation. So Watson to me is the big differentiator when it comes to man coverage, although Wicks was really good in this game as well. But I did have a little bit as I was watching this of like, their receivers still need to work on that a little bit more, just to give Jordan some more clean throwing lanes where it doesn't have to be quite as contested. The second thing on my notes is the defensive tackles. Devontae Wyatt's out for the year. Obviously, I knew that going into my film review. Paid a little bit of an extra close attention to Colby Wooden and Warren Brinson. I thought Brinson and Wooden, as you're going to find out in a moment, were both on my lowest graded defensive players, my bottom three for this week. For Colby Wooden, his first nine games, he had a plus 1.30 grade for me. In his last three, it's a combined negative 1.55, which means he's now negative 0.25 for the season after having such a great start through those first nine games. It does feel to me like there's a little bit of signs of slowing down for Colby Wooden after he has not played this type of role in the past. He's been like the number five defensive tackle, and now he's the number one. He's the number one defensive tackle for Green Bay. Kenny Clark is gone. Devontae Wyatt's out for the year. Carl Brooks, Warren Brinson, Nasir Stackhouse are not it. Colby Wooden is your current number one defensive tackle on the team. He got blown off the ball on a few different occasions in that game against Detroit. And it's worth noting that Detroit's interior right now isn't very good. That gives me some cause for concern. Devontae Wyatt, I thought, was good in this game. We'll talk about him as well. But as Mike Wall said, like, he's been playing some good football. I thought this week much better than maybe the previous weeks, but that's going to be a loss. It's going to be a loss. And now it's up to Warren Brinson, Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, Nasir Stackhouse, especially those four, to step up in a pretty significant way. Maybe Jordan Riley can help a little bit as well, but just a little bit nervous after watching the tape this past week to see, especially Colby Wooden, just again, for kind of the third consecutive week, just be like, this isn't quite as good as it was earlier in the season. We'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at the same time. And while you and I are out making decisions every single day, like what gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, or which games to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. The football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of games has been a super fun part of each football week. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Josh Jacobs against Chicago as Green Bay regains that top seed in the North. I'm also going to be keeping my eye on Puka Nacua, Josh Allen, and Jonathan Taylor. Now it's time for you to get in on the action too, so download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Last but not least, I said I had some good news as well. This is also kind of like a good news. It's in between. I don't know why exactly, and I don't know how to define this. The offensive line is still a major work in progress. It's not perfect. We're going to talk about Belton having some struggles in this game in just a moment as well. But with Sean Ryan at center and Anthony Belton at right guard these last 2 weeks, even though there's still things that really need to get cleaned up and some technique work that could really still be done, it just feels better. And I can't quite put my finger on why. Because if you look at some of the grades and Belton and things like that, it's still not going great. But it has a tangible feel to it of the run game just feels a little bit better. The protection just feels a little bit better. And it's not always. There were a lot of pressures from Detroit in this game. There were a lot of pressures from Minnesota as well. Like, it's still a problem. It's still a problem. They still need to clean some stuff up. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a feel thing. I don't know. But I feel better about this offensive line the way they've played the last couple of weeks. Lots of cleanup. So I still think they can get a lot better. But there's just a feel to it that feels a little bit more sturdy. I think the extra size inside with Anthony Belton, kind of what Mike Wall was talking about earlier this week, I really do think makes a difference for this Packers offensive line. All right, it is time. Let's jump to the grades. We'll start on offense, top three on offense. Top two are not going to surprise you at all. Jordan Love, plus 3.60 grade. And by the way, that's after at least one pretty bad grade on the throw to Bo Melton. And another one right after that where I thought he missed Christian Watson as well. The Melton one's always interesting because if he just gets sacked, right? If he doesn't step up and maneuver the pocket, which he did in a beautiful way, if he just gets sacked, the missed throw to Melton never happens. And the only reason the missed throw to Melton happens is because he did such a great job of maneuvering the pocket and putting himself in that position. So he did the heavy lifting to get to that spot and to make something happen, and then he missed a wide open Bo Melton for a touchdown. So it is just this interesting dynamic of if he doesn't do the great job of avoiding pressure and moving up and getting outside of the pocket, we're never grading that as a negative. He just gets sacked and it's down over, and there's probably much less of a negative on that play. But instead, he does a great job of maneuvering everything, finding his way out, and seeing Bo Melton and unfortunately just missing him. Still a negative, but it is kind of an interesting concept to talk about. And then again, he missed that crosser right after. It's not a great start for Jordan. And then he decided to basically be perfect the rest of the day. I mean, just throw after throw after throw. The Wicks touchdown, the Wicks third down conversion where he just placed it right on him, right over the corner. The Romeo Doubs touchdown on fourth down. The Wicks play to end the game. The bomb to Christian Watson. Some of those laser pinpoint out routes that are like have to be exact, and he threw them exact, including one to Watson on a key third down. The seam ball to Dontavian Wicks. Just over and over and over. And I've talked about this for a while. For a quarterback, if you really eliminate the mistakes, meaning like the turnovers, and if you're accurate, which again, he had a couple early that he'd like to have back, but for the rest of the day, he really was. And you're throwing touchdowns and some accurate balls down the field, you're going to end up with a pretty good grade. That was certainly Jordan in this game. I love the way he's taking care of the football. I love the way that he's throwing the ball. And guess what? Again, I said this earlier this week. I don't want to hear about the throwing off the back foot anymore. He's been phenomenal throwing off his back foot. So he's earned that right, in my opinion. Do I wish sometimes he'd step up maybe a little bit more? Sure. He did to the Christian Watson bomb down the field. That helped. Another place he wasn't able to step up because of the offensive line, which is worth noting as well. Number two, Dontavian Wicks, plus 1.70. We basically just talked about all the catches, right? I love that they got him involved early on that little swing pass. Love the seam ball. Love the third down conversion. Love the fourth down for the touchdown. Love the fourth down to end the game. Love the other touchdown play. The other touchdown play was actually a play where I thought Jordan could have done a little bit better on that throw, just to put Wicks in a little bit better rhythm when he was catching it. But Wicks caught it and got into the end zone. Thought that was another nice play from Wicks. Some people were a couple people online were like, why wasn't the grade higher? It's like for a wide receiver, like plus 1.7, my highest graded wide receiver on the year is Christian Watson at plus 2.4. This is 0.7 below my highest graded wide receiver on the year. And even Christian's only played what, like four or five games or whatever. So that's a very massive grade. And especially for a wide receiver that didn't have, you know, 100 plus yard day, but it was clutch almost every single time. And he was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Number three, Sean freaking Ryan. This is the best day from a center, I thought, all season long for Sean Ryan in this one. A couple plays on blitz pickups where I thought he was, you know, maybe misdiagnosed or, you know, allowed a free rusher. I thought on the whole, he did a nice job. And I thought he was one of the reasons where Josh Jacobs had a little bit more running room in the middle in this game. I like his physicality. I like the ability for him to be able to move people a little bit. It just felt a little bit more clean and crisp this game from Sean Ryan. Maybe starting to settle into that center position a little bit more. It's going to take some time. He's what, only on start two, I think, at this point, maybe three. But either way, I thought this was a great game for Sean Ryan. Love the ability to get some movement, seal people off. He was spry. He was getting to the second level. Just a good all-around game from Sean Ryan. Bottom three players on offense. Number one, Romeo Doubs, negative 0.55. Romeo, I thought, was okay in this game for the most part. I thought there were some plays where he struggled to get off of coverage. Thought he made a couple of receptions that kind of evened it out. He was pretty close to like an even overall grade, save for the huge fumble, which wasn't really a huge fumble because Rashid Walker recovered it. But that could have been the game-altering play. That takes a seven off the board if Rashid Walker doesn't recover that. So Sheed kind of saved his bacon in the game. Fortunately, it doesn't save your grade. It's still process related, and he lost the fumble, and that's a 50-50 ball that's chilling out there that thankfully Rashid Walker was able to come up with. But I thought that was the big potential disaster play in that game, and thankfully, again, Rashid Walker saved it. Second up is Anthony Belton, negative 0.45. Second time in 2 weeks that he's been on my lowest graded player list. Kind of like I said a week ago, I don't really care. This is, well, I care in the fact that I wish they had like a plus 2.0 guy there or something, right? Like that'd be better. I just think he's young. He's inexperienced. Dusty Evely did a good little film, little breakdown on, I think he did on both Blue Sky and Twitter, but I think for sure it's on Twitter. You can go check that out. But he mentioned he'd like to see Belton play a little bit more nasty. I agree with that as well. You can tell he's just a little bit of a deer in headlights right now. There's still some things that are flying fast out there. But man, I like his size. I like his overall physicality. I like his demeanor. Could he be maybe even a little bit more mean? Sure. But as he learns what he can do in the NFL with that body type, that strength, that movement ability, he's going to be fun to watch. He's going to be fun to develop. And even though the grade's not great, I do think that this is the right direction for Green Bay. Third one is Darian Kennard, negative 0.2. They're using him a lot in that number, or really, I guess, the sixth offensive lineman, or as kind of like just a run blocking tight end, but in your jumbo package here. I think he could be a little bit better. There's a couple of plays where I'm like, you know, he's up against linebackers, and I'm just like, dude, you're an offensive lineman playing tight end. Block like the offensive lineman. Don't block like the tight end. There's a couple of plays where I'm like, what are you doing? Like, just get after it. You're bigger and stronger than what a tight end should be, and you get to play that spot. Go and maul some people. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that from him overall, but nothing brutal, nothing catastrophic in this game from Kennard, but ends up being the third lowest at negative 0.2. Some noteworthy offensive grades. Thought Josh Jacobs had a nice day with a plus 0.35. Christian Watson had a plus 0.3. He had the deep ball down the field. He had a couple nice first downs along the sideline, but I thought there were plays that he could have made. There was the one where Jordan rolled right and he threw right along the sidelines, and to me, that bounces right off of Christian's hands. That's a drop, in my opinion. There's the one late in the game, the penultimate offensive play, I guess not including kneel downs, where right before the Wicks play, he's got an opportunity. It's interesting because there's a play earlier. It was one of the first plays, and Watson didn't come back to the ball. And Brady kind of called him out. It's like, yeah, your receiver needs to come back to the ball in that situation. I thought on that second to last play, Watson kind of did the same thing. He kind of stopped, didn't continue to come back to the ball. It allowed the defender to get in there. I still kind of thought that that was more of a drop as well. There were a couple plays too where Watson could have had a block in the run game and didn't. Thought he could have got off of coverage a little bit better, but he has a huge touchdown on the field and some huge, you know, third down conversions as well. It's still a positive, no question, but maybe not quite the positive that you'd have expected given the huge play down the field that was such a monster play in that game. The tight end trio, Musgrave, Wiley, and Fitzpatrick had a combined plus 0.3. Workable. Like just seeing them overall in the positive. I think Musgrave had a couple blocks in this game that were some of the better ones that he's shown in his career so far. So maybe a little bit of improvement in the blocking game for Luke Musgrave. Aaron Banks, I thought, had another really nice day. Plus 0.5, just missed that cut for top three players in this one. But he continues to be much better these last few weeks. Matt LaFleur, I think it was LaFleur, said that he's really kind of settled into that role post-injury. I couldn't agree more. I think he's playing really good football right now. You're starting to see the offensive lineman that Green Bay was hoping for, maybe not quite to that level, but at least closer when they signed him to that big contract. Next up, Rashid Walker. I thought Walker had a really tough game to open this one. And then late in the game, he had a really good run block. And he, of course, fumbled or recovered the fumble. And those two things combined brought his grade back up. It still ended up being a negative 0.1, but he kind of saved his best for last. And I thought as the game went on, he got a little bit better. But I thought early to middle of this game, I thought Rashid Walker struggled. And it's just been that kind of season for him. Just hasn't quite clicked the way that I would hope for and expect to in a contract year. He's still probably going to get paid, but I was just hoping for a little bit more from Rashid, but still ends up with a decent grade, but in large part due to the fumble recovery, and a couple good blocks towards the end of the game. All right, let's go to defense. Top three players on defense. Number one, for like the billionth week in a row. It feels like it's not, but Micah Parsons plus 1.6. What more do you want? 2.5 sacks, completely disruptive. We've talked about this week, the play where he gets around Taylor Decker, the left tackle, and then on the very next play, beats him inside. It's got to be a nightmare to have to go against that guy. I don't know what you do. And I love the Halfley play where you dropped him in coverage this past week and you got McKinney and McDuffie home because of it. There's so much attention placed on Micah Parsons and what he's been able to do coming to Green Bay and still beat some double teams and still make the impact that he continues to make. It's a joy. It's remarkable. Enjoy every second of it because they've got themselves a premium player and it's looking every single day better and better for Brian Gutekunst and company that they went out and made that deal, even though the cost was steep. Number freaking two, Isaiah McDuffie, plus 0.85. Hell of a run for McDuffie. What a contract extension that looks like for Goody. He looks capable of playing as much as you need him to. He had the green dot. He played the mic. I thought he was good in this one. Could he have gotten depth a little bit more on some passing plays? Sure. But I thought he was great in the run game. Thought he still did his best in coverage. This was a really good game, and he continues to play really good football. Really, really good football. He's having easily, and I mean easily, the best year of his career. We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your Z-Biotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code PACKADAY. Hey friends, I've got some great news for you. I've got part of your holiday shopping already taken care of. I am absolutely obsessed with my new Ridge wallet, and it's going to make an absolutely perfect holiday gift for just about everyone in your life. It's also a perfect gift suggestion for yourself as well. I'll be honest, I was just about done with wallets. I suffer from back pain, which doesn't help. Plus, they are clunky to carry around, and I just don't even like having a wallet with me. That was until I discovered Ridge. Ridge is known for their unique, slim, and modern wallets. And Ridge has been perfecting the wallet for 12 years, and their new Ridge 2.0 is 10% lighter. Plus, they have over 50 colors and styles to choose from, including every NFL, MLB, or college team. And I just know that Packers one is already calling out to you. Now, Ridge is over 100,000 five-star reviews, and with their Ridge tracker card, you'll always know exactly where it is before panic mode kicks in. And right now, for a limited time, Ridge is having their huge holiday sale. Head to RIDGE.com to get 47% off your order. This is by far the biggest discount they've given all year. That's RIDGE.com, Ridge.com, for up to 47% off your order during their biggest sale of the year. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you. And then last but not least, for the top three on defense, Kingsley and Igbari plus 0.55. He had the half sack. He had a sack also that got nuked due to that was the illegal contact, I think, on Keyshawn Nixon. So yeah, he had a really nice day. I thought he was pretty good against the run. A couple plays that he maybe would have liked to have had back, but overall, like what I'm seeing from Igbari, and I thought this was one of his better games of the season. Bottom three on defense, we talked about one of them, well, two of them already, but Warren Brinson was my lowest, negative 0.55. Brinson just got caught a little bit in this game of, you know, he had to run defend a little bit more than I think he probably would have liked to have had to, and it didn't always go great. And in pass rush, he just couldn't quite win to the level that you would hope for. Ends up being a negative day for Brinson. There were a couple plays he got blown off the ball, but if you're looking for like some smoking gun of like, remember this play, I don't think it was anything like that. I just thought it was a lack of consistency throughout the course of the day for Warren Brinson. Carrington Valentine, negative 0.45. I don't really probably need to explain to you why that was the case and why, you know, he's on this list. It's the missed tackle. It's the missed tackle. You allow a touchdown because of that missed tackle. And you're right there. You read it perfectly. You read it beautifully. You're right on that receiver as soon as he catches it. And then you don't wrap up and it becomes a touchdown because of it. It's a 4-point swing directly related to Carrington Valentine. So he ends up as my second lowest graded player. I thought he was good in coverage. Outside of that, had one other kind of missed tackle, but I thought in coverage, per usual, he was really good in this game. And then Colby Wooden, negative 0.35. We talked about him already, just getting kind of blown off the ball a couple different times. This is a big stretch, big remainder of the year for Colby Wooden. He's got the opportunity to go earn himself an extension this next offseason. And again, I think he's done a really admirable job the vast majority of the season, but these last few weeks, just a little bit off from Colby Wooden from where it was earlier in the year. Some noteworthy defensive grades. Devontae Wyatt plus 0.3. I thought he had a solid game, unfortunately, before going out with the injury. Goes out with the injury. He's done for the year, and now they're going to have to find a way to replace him. Rashawn Gary, negative 0.3. I thought he came out of this game with a ton of energy. Thought he set the edge well. I thought he was a good run defender in this game, but just couldn't get a whole lot going pass rushing at all. Need a little bit more there, which is what, again, we talked about yesterday with Justice. Keyshawn Nixon, plus 0.3. Another solid game from Keyshawn. I know that there's some haters out there. Ross Uglum looking at you. He's had a nice season. I have him graded now in the positive for the year for Keyshawn. I think he's playing good football. I really do. Is it ever going to be what you probably want as a true corner one? No, probably not. But do I think he's playing good when winning football? I do. I thought this was another great example of it. Evan Williams, plus 0.3. Everyone's seen some of the big-time run plays he's had in run defense. That's been outstanding. We've seen that all year long, but I thought there were a couple plays in coverage where he could have been better. He also missed a tackle or two in this game as well. Still in that positive, but a couple things that he probably could have cleaned up and probably would tell you himself he would have liked to have done just a little bit better. And that brings us to our best and worst grades for the year so far. I'll go top five and bottom five, both on offense and defense. If you want to check out the full grades, find them over at PackerReport.com. My top five offensive grades for the season, Jordan Love, plus 15.35. It's what an MVP type season looks like. He's been fantastic. We talked about it already. Can't say it enough. Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft tied for second with plus 5.3, which just makes me sad that Tucker Kraft is no longer able to play this year. I will not go as far to say he's in a better place now, aka what Romeo Doubs said. But it's a bummer that he's out for the year. But he had a phenomenal season up until that point. But Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft tied for second, plus 5.3. Christian Watson, plus 2.4, already my fourth highest graded offensive player. And he's only been back for less than a handful of weeks. Incredible start for his return to from injury. And then Dontayvion Wicks, fresh off of his huge performance this week, already up to number five, plus 2.25. If he continues to play like that, he could climb that offensive chart very, very quickly. Bottom five on offense, Jordan Morgan, negative 3.7. Let's just say he was benched for a reason. He was struggling. Rashid Walker, negative 2.25. Was hoping for a little bit more, just haven't got it from Rashid as of yet. Anthony Belton, negative 2.2. Work in progress, but I like the decision to put him at right guard, even if it's been a little bit shaky at times. Darian Kennard, negative 2.10. Getting a lot of run as that sixth offensive lineman. Just want to see a little bit more from him. The major downgrades were earlier in the year when he actually played on the offensive line, not in the sixth offensive line role. And then Luke Musgrave, negative 1.5. Just not as effective as you would like. Not a surprise here that he's at this grade. In fact, I probably would have guessed it was a little bit lower, but negative 1.5 for Musgrave. Defensively, top five on defense, Micah Parsons, plus 11.0. No notes there. You know why. He's up on that list. Evan Williams, number two, plus 4.65. Adrian Cooper, number three, plus 3.95. Isaiah McDuffie, number four, plus 2.35. And Javon Bullard, number five, plus 2.15. Bottom three on defense, Nate Hobbs, negative 1.85. Really tough start to his season and his career in Green Bay as well. Nasir Stackhouse, negative 1.00. A little bit better as of late from Stackhouse, not playing a ton, but a little bit better as of late. Warren Brinson, negative 0.85. I like Brinson, but it's, again, rookie hiccups that he's going to kind of have to learn from. Carl Brooks, negative 0.8. And then Carrington Valentine, negative 0.8. You might be thinking, Andy, that's low for Valentine. It's really two games, this game and the missed tackle, and then the Dallas game. He got beat up pretty bad in that game as well. Had it not been for those two, he'd definitely be in the positive, but those two currently holding him back. Just to recap it, top and bottom players for this week. Top three on offense were Jordan Love, Dontayvion Wicks, and Sean Ryan. Bottom three on offense, Romeo Doubs, Anthony Belton, and Darian Kennard. Top three on defense, Micah Parsons, Isaiah McDuffie, and Kingsley Nagbare. Bottom three on defense, Warren Brinson, Carrington Valentine, and Colby Wooden. For the season, top five on offense, Love, Jacobs, Kraft, Watson, and Wicks. Bottom five, Morgan, Walker, Belton, Kennard, and Musgrave. Top five on defense, Micah Parsons, Evan Williams, Adrian Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, and Javon Bullard. Bottom five on defense, Nate Hobbs, Nasir Stackhouse, Warren Brinson, Carl Brooks, and Carrington Valentine. That's going to do it for me right now. Again, full grades up on Packer Report a little bit later on Friday. I will be back for happy hour at 3 p.m. Central Time, so make sure to check out that as well. Looking forward to it. I will see you guys for that. I will see you guys the remainder of the weekend. We continue to get set for Packers Bears. Going to be a fun one. Enjoyed, everyone. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, and John Mark Lydell, and Nemo. See you guys tomorrow, but see you later today, I should say, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.